This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
On today's edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we'll be talking to Zane. Zane's going to join us about our trip to Salt Lake City to see the WWE. Plus, Zane asks some very pertinent questions about what's going on in the WWE. We'll talk a little bit about Extreme Rules that's coming up on July the 15th. Also coming up, we'll have some news, some tragic news, and also some of the other news that you might not know about from the world of professional wrestling. It's all happening for you now on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
We start this edition of Turnbuckle Trash with another tragic death of a former professional. We start this edition of Turnbuckle Trash with another death of a former professional wrestler. This one died way too young. Matt Capitoli, who first gained aim as winning a contract on Tough Enough in 2003, that was season 3. He first gained fame when he earned a WWE contract after winning the third season of Tough Enough in 2003 alongside fellow winner wrestler John Hennigan. And we all know John is now Johnny Morrison, Johnny Impact, on Impact Wrestling and also on Lucha Underground. Capitoli did wrestle under his own name and also the pseudonym of The Flava, made lots of appearances on WWE Sunday Night Heat, Raw, and also Vengeance. Later went to Ohio Valley, where he did announce in 2007 that he had to retire because of the brain tumor. And now, for a career cut way too short, here are the 10 bells.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
I don't know karate, but I know Kareza. Get ready for the big paper.
It's time to take out the trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
We have a new champion in Ring of Honor. That man is none other than Jay Lethal. Lethal won the title from Dalton Castle. The match featured Castle defending against Lethal, Cody Rhodes, and Matt Taven. Now, Castle's title reign ended at 197 days after winning it from Cody in the final battle of 2017. Jay Lethal begins his second reign as champion after his first reign lasted 427 days. Congratulations to Jay Lethal. IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kenny Omega will be facing his former Bullet Club ally in Cody Rhodes at the NWGP WG1 Climax in San Francisco. That event will be shown on Access TV, and whoever wins that title will also win the leadership of the Bullet Club. Impact Wrestling is announcing a new deal in Mexico. They've announced a deal with the channel called Channel 52MX in Mexico. Impact will air its weekly show Saturday nights starting July the 7th in Mexico. Some injury news. WWE female competitor Ruby Riott is missing a few weeks. She has a sprained MCL ligament. It is not known how long Ruby Riott will be missing action. WWE Hall of Famer Ricky Steamboat has undergone a successful hip replacement surgery, and he says he is doing well, should be up and about soon. Good luck to the Dragon. Bray Wyatt in a little trouble. Bray Wyatt has been missing from Monday Night Raw broadcast the last few weeks after being involved in a car accident. TMZ is reporting that Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, was hospitalized due to those injuries, suffered from the crash in Tampa, but it might have been Bray Wyatt's fault. The crash report said this. According to TMZ now, Bray Wyatt wasn't paying attention to traffic when he smashed into the car in front of him. That caused the driver to veer to the left and hit another vehicle, according to the crash report. Wyatt reportedly was taken to the hospital and was treated for injuries there and has been cited for careless driving due to his failure to operate his vehicle in a careful and prudent manner. It is not known what he was distracted by. However, Bray Wyatt is being advertised for Extreme Rules. Speaking of Extreme Rules, July the 15th is the day, and the updated card is as it follows. Now remember, we're recording this on July the 4th, so this could change. WWE Championship match at Extreme Rules should be a good one. It'll be AJ Styles against Rusev Day. I hope Rusev Day wins, but I got a feeling it will be the Phenomenal One. Also in a grudge match, Roman Reigns takes on Bobby Lashley, a match that Zayn and I both talk about the possibilities of that coming up when we talk to Zayn in just a few minutes. The SmackDown Women's Championship match has Carmella. Mella is money. She's going against Asuka. Great storyline with Asuka and James Ellsworth and the champion, Carmella. I've really enjoyed that. Extreme Rules match for the Women's Raw Championship has Alexa Bliss. Yes, Little Miss Bliss taking on Nia Jax in an Extreme Rules match. That should be kind of interesting, seeing how a large girl like Nia Jax takes on a smaller competitor in Alexa Bliss, and Bliss is the champion. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. Not sure how to go with this one as the Bludgeon Brothers take on Team Hell No. Kane came back from his semi-retirement, or should I say his political aspirations in Knox County, Tennessee, to team up with his former Team Hell No companion in Daniel Bryan, and now they'll take on the Bludgeon Brothers at Extreme Rules. The Raw Tag Team Championship match, I'm going to love this one. On July the 15th, the match right now will feature The Deletion himself, Matt Hardy, the Woken One, and Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, taking on the B-Team, Curtis Axel, and Bo Dallas. A little side note, some of the impression work that the B-Team has been doing, with Curtis doing his Woken Matt Hardy impression, and then Bo Dallas doing just a dead-on impression of Bray Wyatt, who happens to be his real-life brother. I have laughed at every one of those video clips where Bo Dallas has had that fake beer on, and he's been doing his brother Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt says himself that the character he's portraying in the WWE is really him. I mean, he says he is that kind of man, and that's what he enjoys. He enjoys that kind of slow-talking Southern style. So there you go. That would be for the WWE Raw Tag Team Champion, that is, the Raw Tag Team Champion. The champions, Matt Hardy, the Woken One, and the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt, take it on the B-Team. Then a 30-minute Iron Man match. This is where you try to win as many matches as you can in a 30-minute time limit. It will be the champion, Dolph Ziggler, against Seth Rollins. I'm going to have to, when this match is taking place, I think I will take a pen and paper and count down how many times that the announcing team at this Extreme Rules will talk about Seth Rollins' injured knee, which he injured. They do it every time. Drives me absolutely bonkers. Yeah, he has a bad knee. Get over it. But it should be interesting. Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins in a 30-minute Iron Man match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. And then also the WWE United States title match is one that has been delayed for a while because of injury. When the man who likes to hit people in the Wachobies, yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura, takes on Jeff Hardy. Now, the storyline was that Shinsuke, after losing to AJ Styles, took on Jeff Hardy and did the low blow. And then the next week, Jeff Hardy appeared in his famous face paint that he used a lot in Impact Days. And it was supposed to be like almost a different type of character when he puts on this face paint. Well, that's when Shinsuke Nakamura was bitten by a police dog. In real life, got bit by a police dog, and the injury was enough that they've held out Shinsuke for a couple of weeks. Hopefully, they'll be able to do something on the upcoming SmackDown with Shinsuke to set up the match. Should be a good one. Jeff Hardy against Shinsuke Nakamura. More coming up on Turnbuckle Trash. We'll be joined by Zane O'Mac, Zane Peterson, and we're going to talk about going to a WWE event in just a little bit. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And now my main man, Mr. Zane O'Mac, joins us. Zane, we had a time Saturday night in West Valley City with the WWE, man. That was fun, wasn't it?
Joining via satellite. Isn't that what they used to say back in the day?
Yes.
Or do they still say that?
Via satellite or by Skype. So.
What did you say when you were first in radio when you'd have somebody on the phone?
I'd say, join us by telephone this evening would be a Mr. Zane Peterson. Zane, thank you so much for joining us here on the radio. That's how I would say it, too. On the radio. Because I'm a professional radio announcer.
Because radio gets results.
That's right, baby.
So does internet radio.
That's right. Podcasting extreme. Here we go.
Yes, yes. So, dude, WWE live from Salt Lake City, road to do they call it Road to SummerSlam? Or?
I got my ticket right here. Let me pull that out, and I can tell you the official name. No, that was the Salt Lake Bees game the next day. Let's just say it was the Road to SummerSlam.
It was something to SummerSlam, huh?
Yeah, it was something. It was leading up to SummerSlam, and they're kind of pressing that as their next big event. So it was a Raw-branded show, and you showed up right after they had the videotape of Kurt Angle. Kurt was not there. But he did an announcement, very generic, you know, thanks for coming to the Raw-branded Road to SummerSlam, blah, 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 blah. So you didn't even get to sing along with You Suck.
SummerSlam Heatwave Tour.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. So.
So Kurt was there?
No, it was all video. Oh. It was all video.
Oh, yeah.
But did you notice who the announcer was, the in-ring announcer?
Old Byron.
Can you believe how good a job he did?
Yeah, well, he does. He's been the in-ring guy for the last three or four live events we've been to.
I thought he did great. As much of a nerd as he comes out to be when he's doing his commentary, yeah. He did a fantastic job getting the crowd involved and then also introducing the acts instead of saying, here's Seth Rollins. You know, he really, in wrestling terms, he sold it. And I guess in announcing terms, he also sold it because that's what you're taught to do is to emphasize and get things really psyched without sounding like you're screaming.
So what you could say is, I'm still going to sell it.
Going to sell it one way to the other. So
yeah.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, we saw some good stuff that night.
Oh, yeah. Quality matches. You know, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, I don't know if you want to go match by match or if how you want to.
No, let's just talk about the event as whole. The people who are doing the match by match, you know, they weren't there. They really don't care, I guess.
Bayley and Dana Brooke and Liv Morgan and Randy Riott. A lot of tag team on the live shows. How come do you think that is?
It's a way to get more talent involved. And it gives them a chance to have the fans of a Bayley and a Dana Brooke, even though she didn't come out with Titus Worldwide, which surprised me. But I think it gets more talent involved, and that's probably why they do more tag teams at live events.
And what do you think? Do you think it's easier on the competitors, too? They don't get beat up quite as bad?
Yeah, probably not just beat up quite as bad, but also the talent level, one might be a little stronger in one aspect and they can work with, you know, like Dana Brooks did a great job against Ruby Riott and she worked really well against her. So maybe just the work rate with another competitor is a little bit higher when they do this and they can take a little pressure off instead of trying to, you know, a singles match, you know, if you're in there for 20 or 30 minutes, you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah. So what did you think? We had a cruiserweight match. I was a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, the cruiserweight title match with Kalisto and Cedric Alexander. I love Cedric Alexander. I think he needs to be on the main roster instead of on 205. But, I really enjoyed it. The crowd was, I mean, it was split 50-50. Who are they going to root for? Kalisto is extremely popular with the kids, and Cedric is more popular with you and I, like the regular wrestling fans.
I found the card, dude.
Oh, cool!
So we'll go through it. This was in my opinion, the match of the night. The B Team, Titus Worldwide, and Breezango.
Oh, wasn't it fun?
Oh my gosh! I didn't know who to cheer for because I love the B Team and I like Breezango, and it was kind of a strange match because nobody was really bad guys in that match. I mean, I guess the B Team was kind of the bad guys, but I don't know.
Almost comedic bad guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the Facebook page, but I have some really good pictures of Bo Dallas. Yeah.
I'll post the picture of Bobby. I got a really good picture of Bobby Lashley standing in the ring. My goodness.
He's a monster, isn't he?
Oh, my hell, that guy is a monster. Good grief.
You know, Mitch, I introduced you to Mitch down by you with his brother, mm-hmm. Drew. And he went there with his brother, actually his twin brother. They got together to do this because his twin, who has Down syndrome, loves professional wrestling. And
cool.
And Drew wanted to take him to something just pretty nice. And I kept on telling Mitch, I said, Mitch, you're going to come out being a fan. And I think he is now.
It is pretty good family entertainment.
Fun
time. I told you, Mitch, you would be a fan. And just say, Dave, you're right.
You are right.
I am.
Definitely right.
Well, and speaking of that, we had another semi-new fan with us as well. And we're gonna we'll get him on and talk to him about this. But he recently joined the Facebook group. An old friend of mine, Andrew Crapo, joined us for the night too, and I think he had a lot of fun. He's just a goofball.
He did, didn't he? He was getting into a couple of those matches, yeah. Screaming and yelling, and I loved it.
Yeah, he's a goofball, and sometimes he's a little hard to take serious, but I think he had a pretty good time, and I think he was pretty grateful for us being able to invite him to the match.
But it was fun.
But good. I mean, for a house show, I was really impressed. I thought that they did a pretty good job of keeping the pace, and the card was pretty strong.
I didn't think there was a really weak match on the bunch. I really didn't. I enjoyed every one of them.
But B Team did end up with the win in a, I guess what would you call it, a triple threat tag team, six man tag or whatever. I guess did you call that a six man tag or is it like a triple threat?
Triple threat tag is what they announced it.
Okay. Next, Mojo Rally versus No Way Jose. I thought that was the weakest match of the night.
Well, it was a filler, and they're really trying to push Mojo a little bit. And I was surprised that they didn't have a couple of locals come out with No Way Jose and do the little conga line.
Yeah, because they did that. A couple of local guys from UCW got to do that with when Adam Rose. They got to be Rosebuds for the night on one of the house shows or something. But next match was a pretty good match. A strong? I don't know. Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley.
Well, anytime you talk Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, you're talking strong.
Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, and Jinder Mahal. What did you think of that pop Kevin Owens got?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. He's one of those anti-heroes now. He cheats. He'll do anything he can to win. And I think the crowd just gets into him. And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted out and also took a picture and put it onto our Facebook page. I ran into a guy outside right before the matches began, and it wasn't an exact replica of Kevin Owens, but he looked like Kevin Owens from a distance especially. And he had the KO shirt on, the same type of wrestling gear, and I took a picture of him. It's on our Facebook page if you get a chance to see it. It is awesome.
That's awesome. So, dude, one question. We don't need to spend a ton of time on it, so simplify it for me. And I've never been a fan, and I feel like they push him too much. There's so many other people that I think should get a better chance than Baron Corbin. I don't get what's the I don't know if it's an infatuation, but it's a. I don't know. I don't get what the deal is with him. It seems like they try too hard.
Well, I liked his other persona better than what they're doing right now with the constable and the shaved head and coming out with a shirt and a vest on. And then he takes off the shirt and he has the sleeveless shirt. For lack of a better term, I think the slang term is the wife beater shirt on. But he's supposed to be like the authority figure for Stephanie McMahon on Raw.
So he's the knockoff corporate Kane, basically.
That's exactly what he is. He takes the role that if Stephanie couldn't be there, he's on the phone with her and telling Kurt Angle that Stephanie's not happy, and this is what's going to happen. And that's his role right now. And, of course, that will morph into some sort of match with him and Kurt Angle pretty soon.
So next, my favorite spot of the night. Oh, my absolute favorite spot of the night. And I posted the video to our Facebook page. And who did we get to? What did we get to do?
We got to walk with
Elias.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh my gosh. He is so over right now, dude.
Now, when they took their little break, their intermission break, and I was sitting there, and you had left, and I think your friend had left too. And I told him right before he left, I said, when you come back, we're going to walk with Elias. And as soon as you guys left, I saw him setting it up in the ring. I was going, yeah, baby, we get to walk with Elias tonight.
We hustled back down there to get – I heard Elias. Hello, my name is Elias.
It was time to come, wasn't it?
I love that. He says, you know, when we sing along with him, he just says, you know, sing, whoa, hey, yeah. Salt Lake sucks.
And then when Bobby Roode came out and they were, Bobby was going to sing along with him. And then he started playing, right before he started playing Sweet Child of Mine on his guitar, I was the goofball that yelled out Freebird. And I heard about 25 people start laughing. And because it was just at the right spot, if there was a videotape of it, you'd hear some idiot yelling out Freebird. And that was, I am said idiot.
That's awesome.
It was funny. That's I even awesome. Saw him kind of look out of the corner good. Of his eye like, oh, there's one in every crowd, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, dude. And, you know, well, maybe we could record later on this week. Or it's going to be a pretty busy week. I just found out that my wife's grandpa passed away.
Oh, I'm
away,
so sorry.
So we're going to have a... Oh, thanks, Dave. It's going to be an interesting week. But when we get together again, I'm going to write these names down, and we need to go kind of name by name on some of these on the roster and give – I want your opinion on what the heck is going on with
sure.
them and stuff. But, you know, Bobby Roode's one of those names that I'm just scratching my head
yeah,
right
me
now
too.
With.
Too.
So next we had Raw Women's Champion match. Oh yeah, they're gonna change belts at a house show.
Man,
fast,
but oh man, it was such a fun
Alexa
match.
Bliss versus Sasha
Wasn't
Banks.
Wasn't it fun though?
What a good yeah. match. Oh, Alexa Bliss is good and Sasha's really good mm-hmm. and they're both good looking and that's all I have to say about that.
My wife's in the other room, so I can't tell you how hot Alexa Bliss really looked and how much I breathed heavy around her. No, she is. And you know what? I think I was talking to Chris about this in another segment that we'll have on this podcast. I think her strength is the psychology of a wrestling match. She does the psychology very, very well.
She really has taken the whole Jake the Snake psychology thing, you know, because he's somebody that I always think of when you talk about ring psychology. Boy, she's...
You're not giving me the opportunity to tell you, everyone in WWE, everyone here, everyone watching at home, thank you.
This is really nice. What a humble champion.
See, this is the opportunity I'm talking about. The opportunity to rub it all in all of your faces.
She loves to play the innocent bad, you know, but bad. And, but it's just so good.
Yeah.
So good. She's so good. And Sasha Banks, she's very talented as well, but Alexa Bliss is by far one of my favorites on the roster right now.
It was fun.
As far as the women's roster. But then last but not least, the main event, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Dude, and okay, what I told you, I said in that match, I said, it looks like Drew McIntyre might have an inch or two on Roman.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he is... an animal right now. Holy cow, he looks... He is huge.
He is, and his shoulders look like coconuts over his shoulders. I mean, it looks like he's wearing shoulder pads. His shoulders muscles are so defined. But the rest of his body is well-defined, but his shoulders are incredible. And what a worker. I think he is just a future champ, and it should be within a year, I think. Anyway.
Well, and when he sized up against Roman, I was like... Because, you know, I remember him when he was the chosen one on SmackDown.
Right.
And he left for a while and then went to TNA. And you know, now he's back and then NXT stuff. And but, man, when he sized up against Roman, I was like, damn.
I agree, man. One thing
I want to talk to you about is I'm a little confused, okay, by this because – you and I don't know how to explain it. Are we Roman fans or are we not Roman fans? I can't figure it out. Are we like bandwagon fans, or I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think of Roman right now.
That one's a tough one because they desperately need to turn him as a heel. Because the fans, like you and I, don't know what to do with him at this point. I have never been as animately opposed to him as some others, but I'm starting to get a little tired of the stick. He's almost like always just short of getting that championship. He's getting screwed out of it. When's he going to fight back? That's the thing. When is he going to say, you know, I've tried doing it this way, and now I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Well, they did that with Dolph.
Yeah, they did. A long time. It worked well.
But it worked well with his persona, and the fans responded to it well. And for some reason, but I was amazed because, you know, you hear some of the, like, you know, in the larger venues, you know, on Raw and the pay-per-views and stuff, when Roman's music hits, I mean, it is just a solid boo through the whole freaking crowd. But he got a positive pop. Like, I think you and I were the only two booing him in the whole crowd. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, are the people of Utah?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes, they are. Well, you know, he still sells a lot of merchandise. I'll go back to Drew, Mitch's brother. One of the things he did when he left, they went by a concession stand and bought a Roman Reigns T-shirt because, you know, it's what sells. And I guess at this point, you know, they're keeping him because he sells merchandise. And that's fine and dandy, you know, but you got somebody like KO that probably sells as much merchandise now, and he's a heel. Okay, I'm going to jump in here real quick because I have an answer for Zane about what they're doing with one Roman Reigns. And I think the answer has to do not only with Drew McIntyre, I think he's part of the equation, but with one Bobby Lashley. Listen to this, Bobby Lashley and the one and only Roman Reigns in the ring on Monday Night Raw a couple of weeks ago. This is pretty good.
3 years of chances. And the only thing that you've proven is that you can't beat Brock. So it's time for you to just move on, Roman.
Kind of like you did 10 years ago? Some of you may not know this, but about 10 years ago, Bob here was in the main event of WrestleMania. And then what'd he do? He moved on. You left. You quit. Why? You wanted to be a big superstar in the MMA, and how'd that work out, huh? You made a real big impact.
Maybe if he had somebody legit to challenge him. Maybe if he didn't have to look across the ring and stare at you every single time. He's tired of seeing your face, just like all these people are.
So with that, what happened on the first Monday night of July on Raw, don't be surprised Extreme Rules becomes a fatal three-way with Drew McIntyre against Roman Reigns, and also Bobby Lashley. And that's what they're doing with Roman Reigns. The big dog.
But all that stuff aside, still a entertaining match. You know, everybody got their high spots, and Seth Rollins defeats Dolph Ziggler with...
You do the zigzag first?
Yeah, he did, and then Rollins hit Drew McIntyre with the curb stomp or something, or what did he hit? He hit Ziggler, but didn't he end up just winning with a roll-up?
Yeah, I think roll-up and pulling the tights. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, fun match and excellent seats.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the radio station for hooking us up. I mean, I was texting with Andrew Sowell from UCW Zero because I saw him walking in, but I couldn't catch his eye. And I told him, I said, well, you look down the floor in the seventh row, that's where we're at. And he says, wow, how did you do that? And I said, perks from the radio station. And he goes, lucky you. And I said, well, sometimes, yeah. So, you know, we had excellent seats, excellent seats. So.
And shout out to another couple of Cache Valleyites that were sitting in front of us, Trent Hunsaker and your old former host on the show, or former co-host, old
Tommy?
Tom.
Tom Sherlock and Trent, they have their own pod, Death Ray Wrestling. They don't do it quite as often as we do, but they do a good job, and they're very knowledgeable. It is not completely family-friendly, I'll tell you that. So that's the one thing. Before I let you go, I wanted to tell you that one of our trash heads passed away this week. Nephew, Jeremy, who listened to the pod sometimes. Dave. He passed away on Friday. He would listen to us. He would make comments every once in a while on our Facebook page, and we will miss him.
Oh, Dave, I'm so sorry, man. You know, it's always hard to lose one of your, you know, one of your friends, and but let alone your family. That's I just can't fathom how you're feeling right now.
It's tough, but I have a really great memory I'd like to share with you. Now, you know, and I know we're members of the LDS faith, the Mormons, as a lot of people would know us as, and young people will go on missions for the church when they feel like they need to. And my nephew Jeremy did go on a mission for the LDS church, went to Sacramento. But right before he went, I was visiting in Memphis, and I took him to Memphis, Tennessee Wrestling at the Mid-South Coliseum, and they used to have ring girls come out with, not valets, but ring girls actually coming out with the wrestlers. Of course, they were scantily clad. And in one of the intermission breaks, they were saying, hey, come meet these ring girls and take a picture or buy a picture. They'll autograph it for you. So right before he went on his mission for his church, I bought him a scantily clad bikini model that was autographed directly to him. And he actually took it on his mission, so I'm going to go to hell. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great story.
That's awesome. Well, hey, I'm going to send you a link via your email, and it's something for you to, for the next pod. It's going to give you a lot of meat to go off of. I'll read you the headline, and it's, we won't go through it right now because I'm running short on time, but WWE creative member recalls Vince McMahon's memory lapses. So, yeah, very interesting article I read today, and there's definitely a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you and I will never, ever, 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 ever in our entire lives probably ever.
Exactly. And there's some of it we don't want to know that we'll find out about that we'll go, ow. You know, yeah, I bet there's a lot of stuff going on behind. I often wonder about why they do the things that they do, but how can you question the success they have?
By no means is it meant to question the success at all. It's simply, in my mind, a question.
Agreed.
And that's why you and I make it a point to say that we're fans. We are absolutely nothing else but fans.
Yeah. And so, that's I think that's the way that we need to approach that, because we're not competitors. We're not writers. We're not creative. But we are fans. We've been fans our entire lives. And we know what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And I think we're smart enough marks to be able to understand some of the other things that go on that make us want to scratch our head a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Any word on Comic-Con, if there's going to be any WWE people inside?
I have not heard a thing as of yet coming up in September. I know that on their Facebook page there has been questions about whether someone from wrestling will be there or not.
I don't know if it's over or not, but I know Dean Ambrose was going to be in Salt Lake with the Auto Ram.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Expo.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
And, yeah.
Didn't make it to that.
And you remember Jagger Lane, right? Was at a gymnasium on Saturday. Well, a gym that was getting ready to work out where he usually works out. And he gets there, and who's there? the WWE superstars working out. Yeah, he got a picture. He got to work out with Elias instead of just walk with Elias.
No kidding. I've heard that that's a very difficult situation to be in because there was a while ago Randy Orton was in a gym and some people were calling him out and telling, you know, some people went up to him in the middle of a set and tried to get him to autograph some stuff and he kind of got after him, and so then they went to social media and see how big of a dick Randy Orton was, and he's like, hey, I'm not a dick, I'm just, you know, I got stuff I got to do too.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for all that. There is a time and a place for all that. I tried to get an interview with a superstar going through all the motions that the WWE press releases in their website. I, you know, said, you know, this is for the radio station, for the podcast, also an article that would be written for Cash Valley Daily, and they turned me down. I don't know why. Yeah. Because I told him, I said, any superstar will do. I wasn't even asking for one of the stars. I was talking
to one of the referees.
Yeah, I would have done anybody to talk to him about the WWE, and I got turned down. But I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. It ticked me off, but I'm still a fan. So they had their reasons, I guess.
Yeah, and like I said, more of that stuff that we don't know.
I'm sure they get a lot of requests, but so, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, my man, I've got dinner on the table, and you already ate, so you're lucky, and I'm starving. And so I hate to cut us short, but I do unfortunately have to get going. And if we can get together, I know this week's going to be crazy for me, but if we can get together and do some more segments, then I really want you to read that article, though, about the ex-creative, and tell me if you think that guy's being biased or if he is there's any meat to his stuff at all, because there's some interesting things in there that I'm like, wow. Yeah. If that's really how the owner / major promoter of WWE is, he needs to step down. But that's just an opinion. I'm not a professional. I'm just saying that there's some strange things in there that I would, there's got to be a lot more. I don't know. Will you read it and let me know? We'll chew the fat on that later.
Quickly, one quick thing before I let you go. I loved being able to walk with Elias, but my one disappointment, because it was a Raw-branded show, I wanted to be a Firefly. I wanted Bray Wyatt to be there so I could turn on my light and be a Firefly.
Well, you know, when I went to the Styx concert, I should have recorded it. They played that song, I'm sure you know, being a 70s dude. They sing that song, Do I Dare Sing, on the podcast. Light up and be happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they said light up, everybody's cell phones were in the audience, and I was trying to get my cell phone out. I wanted to just take a picture of all the cell phone cameras and just show you, Bray Wyatt must be in town, because that's the only thing I think about when I see
I do the same thing, man. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
So, but well, my man, I sure hope you have a great night, and I am really sorry for the passing.
And same, my condolences to your wife and your family about the passing of your wife.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
This is my voice.
He's really over right now. So he's the knockoff corporate Kane.
Zane, thank you so much for joining us here on the radio. That's how I would say it too, on the radio.
He's tired of seeing your face, just like all these people are.
My wife's in the other room, so I can't tell you how hot Alexa Bliss really looked and how much I breathed heavy around her.
favorite spot of the night.